You're listening to Daily Paul Radio. Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. WGRR Digital.
You're listening to the smooth night sounds of the Liberty Cats. You Hep Cats and Swing Kittens, pull up your beanbag, put on your beret, grab that electric pipe, put on that smoking jacket, and put your cat in your lap, because it's time for your daily injection of furry love. Now here's the granddaddies of hip and everything cool, Brian Hagen and Taryn P. Lupo.
And I am Brian Hagen, along with the one and the only...
Taryn P. Lupo.
And it is so good to be back once again here on the Liberty Cats. And Taryn P. Lupo, I have to tell you, I know you've been out traveling. You've been having some adventures. We have a lot to talk about on that front here on the show. We also have a lot to talk about the federal government really infringing upon the rights of a rancher in Nevada. This story's been ongoing. I don't think it's going anywhere anytime soon. We're going to get to that. We're also going to be talking about my very gay love for James Franco. So this is a very serious edition of the Liberty Cats, as you can tell.
Already down to business. We had to go right to that.
Well, you know, you may as well establish it from the get-go. You may as well let the people know what they're in for on the show. Because if they do not want to hear our take and our thoughts on what the federal government is doing on tightening the noose around our rights, and then hear what is going on in my life with tightening the noose around my auto asphyxiation love, I think they should move on to a different show at this point. What say you, Taryn?
So you want James Franco to give you audio asphyxiation love?
Yes.
Is that what I'm trying to blend all these together while talking about a ranch? I guess that's what gets you off. Right.
And the fact that you were at a massively bizarre strip club. These are all topics of tonight's Liberty Cats. Thanks for being here on Daily Paul Radio on this Tuesday edition on this 15th day of April. First of all, Taryn, I do wish to apologize for the confusion that I have been causing over in that world of Facey Page because of my love of James Franco. You follow me over there. You must have noticed just how many pictures I post of this guy each and every day.
Well, for the listeners, because honestly, I feel real bad. I didn't know who he was. You had to tell me who he was. Give us a background for the listeners that have no clue who James Franco is.
Well, James Franco is just this outstanding actor. He's also a professor of acting. He's good friends with Seth Rogen. He started on that show Freaks and Geeks back in the 90s, which is now just a cult phenomenon, and that show was absolutely brilliant. James Franco was in films such as Pineapple Express, which is a stoner comedy to end all stoner comedies. He's just got this great smile. He's got this great attitude. He's really smart. He's really sweet. And if I was a man of a different persuasion, James Franco would be the man of my bedtime.
Well, I do believe that you got someone in trouble for mentioning that. Why don't you share that story about...
Well, here's the deal. Each and every day, I post different pictures of James Franco. Franco, you see, is a huge star right now. He recently, it's amazing, and this is what intrigues me about the guy. He can do like some really stupid sort of comedy and make some money off of it. He was the star of that film that came out some months back, like a year or so ago. This Is the End. It was just a filthy, dirty movie with Satan's penis and just all kinds of pot smoking. But then he can turn around and star on Broadway in Steinbeck's Of Mice and Men. He can also adapt as I Lay Dying as a film. So he's just this interesting individual, so smart. I just want to sit down and hang out with him. He also has this love, like I do, of posting selfies on his Facebook page.
Is that where you get all these? Because for you listeners that don't know and that aren't friends with Brian, which you can be friends with him on Facebook.
Yes.
We'll take you.
I will.
There's
anyone.
Probably at least 1 to 2 pictures of Franco a day, and I didn't understand what was going on. I didn't realize that you were just exporting his selfies That he's pimping that out to his fans and you're sharing them.
Yeah, and that's what makes him so great, because he's got this great sense of humor. He'll take a selfie of himself and say something like, "Oh, good morning, world. Wish you were here." And he's like in bed with no shirt. So then I'll turn around and I'll caption that with "Wish I was there too" and hashtag it gay for Franco, and then send that on to my Facebook page. Well, you had alluded a moment ago, Taryn, to me getting a young man in trouble, which I did. I wish to issue an apology right now to Tyler. Tyler is a young man. He's 17 years old, high school student from Oklahoma. He also happens to be one of the most liberty-minded and sound-thinking, mind you, in the world of liberty. This kid at 17 years old knows more at his age than many of us do, you know, much older in life. We're still learning. He's already got the basic foundations. He can argue his way out of anything. He's just impressive. He's amazing. And it really shocks me, being that he's from Oklahoma. I didn't know anyone smart came from there. Anyway, he knows my sense of humor. And he's been on LRN a few times. I know that. He's been on the Corey Moore Show. We need to have him here on the Liberty Cat sometime. He's just a great kid. Well, he gets it. He gets the humor. So I posted a picture of James Franco waking up in bed. He then took that and he shared it back to me, and he captioned it with something else. I saw it. I laughed. I thought nothing of it. About 3 hours later, his mom sees it. And his mom starts questioning Tyler's sexuality, saying, "Tyler, I wish you weren't in bed right now, because you have a lot of explaining to do. If you didn't have a girlfriend, I'd really be upset." And so he didn't answer her, and she just keeps going on, and it just kept growing. And I'm going, this poor kid is going to be in so much trouble when he wakes up and mom talks to him. I could just see it. She'll be like, "Tyler, we need to talk." And he's like, "What, mom? You know that I'm an anarchist." And she'll be like, "No, not that. Are you gay?" I felt so bad for this kid. So I came on and explained it, and I said, "Look, I said it's an inside joke. I have this thing with." I said Tyler is just playing along with it, and Tyler and I have like mutual family friends too, so it's not real weird me hanging out with a 17-year-old kid. Anyway,
so she's so going to suspect you're only bird dogging this kid.
I explained it in this incredibly PR manner. I mean, I made it sound so incredibly sterile that, like, she didn't even want to move forward. She just said, "Oh, well, thank you, Brian. I knew there had to be another story behind this." Like, she's now trying to distance herself from this.
She's probably so homophobe that she would accept anything you said that she can disconnect and say, "Oh, okay, my son's straight. Yay. I believe it.
Exactly. That was the feeling I got. And one of the lines I used was, "This is something that for those who are in the know will get the joke. Those who aren't, you know, will not." And I apologize for any confusion. Well, Tyler then wakes up like 4 hours later, and the next thing he says is, "Yeah, my mom's not in the know on anything. And for someone so not in the know, she sure feels the need to comment on everything." And I was like, whoa.
Whatever. I'm so spreading the rumor that you're a chicken hawk. You know what that is in the gay community? I'll give you.
I can't remember. I know what a bear is, but I don't know what a chicken hawk is.
Okay, this came from playing gay rugby. I learned all the terms about everything. A chicken hawk, this is one of the presentations of gay men couples, is there will be like some hot young guy that hooks up with an older guy who's established that has all the money.
Oh.
And he chicken hawks young guys. They call him a chicken hawk because he'll pick off and change his guy every year.
Oh, like, I see.
And he's, you know, he's like the rich, stable guy that just – gets off on young men.
That's interesting.
I'm going to start that rumor that you're a chicken hawk. Well, that's picking up 17-year-old boys.
That's fine, because while it might not be true with me doing that with boys, that certainly is how my romantic life with the females works. You get over the age of 18, you're out of here, hun.
You chicken hawk, but you have to be rich, Brian. It's a chicken hawk.
Oh shit! Yeah, that's the problem. That's why they're never attracted to me. The minute we go out for dinner, and I'm like, "I'm sorry, hun, you're gonna have to pick up this bill." Boom! They can't make enough off of their weekly allowance to take care of me.
Well, they fall for it once, right? You got that one woman to buy the ticket to your concert.
Sure. Hey, every once in a while.
Once in a while, you might get two. Might get two of them. I lost my wallet.
It happens, man. Like, a lot of times, women, they're like, they feel bad for me or something. Like, and they want to be around me. And they're like, oh, he's kind of interesting. He's kind of intriguing. Because I put off this, like, I'm interesting and intriguing sort of vibe until you get to know me. And then you realize that I'm nothing but just a fat slob who likes to sit around and drink all the time. But before you get that, women are like, oh, he's kind of dark and he's kind of interesting. And, oh, they think there's a shell that needs to be cracked. So they keep trying to crack the shell. And all they find out later is I'm just broke and they have to support me. It's a simple thing. And they can do my dishes and clean the house while they're at it, while I sit and pleasure myself at the computer screen over pictures of Ashley Tisdale and James Franco.
And that's the thing. It is a sad, sad fact of what I learned in dating is you could be a complete jerk and act completely uninterested and they will bend time and space to get you to like them. What's wrong with me that this guy doesn't like me, you know?
And that's the thing.
You could play that, Brian, and just be super impossible to obtain and just let women take you out nonstop.
Oh, they always come back. That's the thing. A lot of times they leave and then you give them about a month and all of a sudden they're writing me on Facebook going, hey, you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm good. Why wouldn't I be? And I'm like, well, you know, I'm sorry I left under such bad circumstances. Would you like to try it again? And I'm thinking, I'm about broke and I sure could go for dinner. Sure, we'll try it again.
That's it. You just need a string of women that'll buy you dinner.
Exactly.
Just try to break up with one about every week.
And I'm cheap. All I need is McRib. Hey, we've reached that very first break. We're going to be right back. More to talk about. Taryn hit the strip clubs. He's got stories to share. That's coming up on the Liberty Cats. That's next. Hang on.
In a world where freedom is fun and everything you thought you knew is wrong, two unlikely voices rose up from the noise. From the minds that brought you Fajita Fun Time and Wheels Off Liberty comes the Liberty Cats. Darren P. Lupo and Brian Hagen are just in time to save us all.
And we are the Liberty Cats. I am Brian Hagen along with
Taryn P. Lupo.
And we have both pulled ourselves out of the old litter boxes tonight to bring you a very classy presentation, a program of nothing but the, oh, I would say the most depth possible when it comes to liberty discussion. You're not going to find anything else on the airwaves like you do with the Liberty Cats every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. We were talking a few moments ago about how I like to use women and discard them, and that came after I explained just how gay I am for James Franco. These are the hot topics of liberty that we all must follow and we all must understand. The non-aggression principle is only a tiny part of it. We, however, have the rest of the story on this show, Taryn.
That's a fact, Jack. I'm having to tell you that we actually got our ratings in.
Yes! Isn't that exciting?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, man. I can't even – I don't even know how this happened. Whoever you are that's listening, we don't know who you are, but wow. So why don't you share some of our ratings? Because for you guys that have never podcasted before, usually the way it works is you stick up a podcast, you beg on people on Facebook to look at it, a couple of your friends will look at it, and then – a couple random people from China will surf in, and you might get 20 or 30 downloads your first time out if you're lucky. And those people probably didn't really listen to the show. They probably just.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
For the show, we were pretty good out of the gate, but now the numbers are really growing. So,
well, I guess what my question is, who is this person that feels the need to download like 2,000 copies of the Liberty Cats? Because I suspect that's what's happening. There's one person out there who's just obsessed with us, and when one copy downloads, they download another. Do you think that could be what's going on?
I thought it was just you downloading it 15,000 times, but like, I'm going to run those numbers up. I'm going to run it. You're at work using their account.
Yeah, the IT director's like, what's this Liberty Cat show on every computer? And I'm like, don't know. Must
it's
be a virus.
One IP address.
Gotta be a virus.
So, for you guys that don't know, we're averaging somewhere between 12 and 15,000 hits a show.
Yeah.
It's... with about 15 to 2,000 live listeners. That's amazing for a podcast right out of the gate.
I've never seen anything quite like this.
So apparently people really want to hear about my days of gay rugby or you're in love with James Franco and cats. I guess the whole thing is, you know, we talk about cats a lot. So we have really good numbers, and we don't know how that's happening. But we would love to find sponsors so we can keep this thing afloat, because our director is starting to gouge us for money and stick that fork in us.
Yeah, it's so not pleasant.
If you want to keep us on the air, think about advertising. And, I mean, think about a month. We probably have over 100,000 hits, I would think, and well, probably more.
Yeah, it'd be more than that. And here's the deal. I can guarantee you that we work pretty darn cheap. So if you want to look into advertising with us, just get a hold of me, Brian Hagan, or Taryn P. Lupo. You can find us all over the place. You can go to the Daily Paul Radio page. You can go to the Liberty Cats Facebook page. You can go to Taryn Lupo's page or my page or Lupo Lid or what's the other one? Lupo Link. We've got thousands upon thousands of ways to contact us. So just do that, and we'll set you up with a deal.
That's true. We're like Kmart. We have a blue light that comes on for a short time. And if you make it in that, do you remember the blue light special? Let's jump back to the 80s.
Yes, the blue light special in Kmart.
Woo, woo. All right, for you kids, since, again, half of our listeners are underage girls, what happened was in the 80s, there was this store called Kmart that's still around a few places, I guess.
I was just in Kmart on Saturday.
Well, it was before really Walmart got around. There used to be Kmarts everywhere.
Oh, yeah. They were all over the place. The big K, man. My mom, this tells you something. My mom is a Kmart shopper. She prefers Kmart over Walmart any day, even though the staff in Kmart, they're zombies. If you want to see living zombies, go into Kmart and ask one of the staff members a question. There's like drool just rolling out of their mouths.
That is true that most of the stoners I knew in high school worked at Kmart.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's hilarious.
It's like a stoner central. I guess they don't drug test.
I don't think so. You're like, hey, can you tell me where the Cheetos are? And they're like, I don't know, man. Yeah. That way, man.
I've only
worked here a year, but I like Cheetos, man. Anyway, Taryn, continue with your story of the blue light special.
When you were in Kmart, because, you know, of course, my mom would never take me to buy anything that had any sort of brands. Like, I didn't know what Levi jeans were. You know, it was Kmart jeans.
Oh, yeah.
And since we grew up with, you know, everything off-brand, we would go to Kmart. And during your shopping experience, about once an hour, they would come on the speaker and they would say, blue light special, aisle 5. We have 3 notebooks for $1.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, everybody would stop what they're doing in the store, and they would turn their buggies, and we have 2 minutes, 2 minutes on our blue light special.
And there would be
and
they would swarm
the spot.
The employee would have a cart. Don't forget, they had a cart, and it actually had a blue light
that
would spun around.
A little siren.
Yeah, it had the little siren. Now, my favorite was when all of a sudden you would hear the speaker system like begin to operate. There was like this whooshing noise through the store. And suddenly you'd hear whoever was over on the speaker go, attention, Kmart shoppers. Attention, Kmart shoppers. There's a blue light special in the deli. Buy one Slurpee, get a Slurpee free. I love that, because back in my day, every Kmart had a deli. While you were shopping in there, you could also eat lunch or dinner. I love that, and I miss that, because they had really good chicken sandwiches.
Yeah, some of the Targets do that now, where they have like, I think they have like Starbucks and high-end stuff, but then they have their little cheap, you know, where you get the dollar mango smoothie thing. But Kmart was the original, guys. I don't think they were doing stuff before that. So Kmart Blue Light Special is a reference that's the way we run our advertising program. So if you're listening, you have 2 minutes to contact us right now for our Blue Light Special before we change our minds that we will have an extra cheap advertising deal. Otherwise, we're just not coming back.
I don't think anyone has ever used a Blue Light Special on a radio show before. But that's what makes us special, Taryn DeLupo. Now, here's the deal. We have a lot to talk about, and we haven't even gotten there yet because Two more minutes. 2 minutes. Blue light special underway. Contact us now for details, and we'll get you a great price on advertising. But we haven't even gotten to the Bundy Ranch yet. That was a horrible situation that really it had begun to develop last week, even the week prior to that.
Before we get into it, because I haven't really been watching the news, is this about Al Bundy? You're talking about the guy married with children, Polk High, scored five touchdowns in one game, Polk number 33. I don't know too much about the show.
He finally got fed up working at the shoe store.
That's right, Al Bundy. And he started that – what was the woman-hater group they had?
Oh, yeah. Kelly Bundy.
Yeah. Yeah, she was so hot back then, and I don't know what happened because she stopped being hot.
Yeah, Christina Applegate. You know what it was? Taryn, do you know what it was? She dressed skanky. It was the skanky clothes that Christina Applegate wore on the show that made her hot, which just confirms my theory. You take an average woman and put her in skanky clothes, suddenly she's hotter than any other girl.
Yeah, you're right. But I feel like she had bigger breasts back then because you look at her now and she doesn't. And unless it was padding or something, maybe back in the day. But I was like, what happened to Kelly? I thought she had this hot body. And no, she's just average.
Boy, that's a good point. I haven't really noticed. I'll have to go check out some pictures.
Yeah, don't you remember Kelly Bundy would be like ripped and, you know, had boobs?
I guarantee you it was all – I bet it was all done in the old dressing room.
Yeah.
It was all special effects and all makeup, guaranteed. Because, yeah, I mean, she's a great actress. I've seen her on other things. She was up on that. She was on that show Up All Night with – what's his name from man, I just completely proved why marijuana is a dangerous thing. And I think I just had a flashback, too.
A blue light special flashback.
Yeah, there's a blue light special in my head.
Fighting your way so you can get that dollar notebook.
Suddenly I'm 5 years old again, sitting in the deli at Kmart. Man, that's not good at all. Arrested Development, that's the show. Well, what's his name? Hey, we've reached another break. When we come back, I promise, we're going to talk about Taryn's adventures in the nastiest strip club in America, and we're going to talk about the government showdown on a ranch in Nevada. That's all coming up on the Liberty Cats this Tuesday edition. Hang on. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Taryn Lupo from Liberty Cats. I've been buying gold and silver for over 20 years. I've made some good buys and I've made some poor buys. Most of the time, the prices and markups were too high from the companies I found. Other times, I was tricked into buying fake gold and silver. There's a large learning curve to becoming a good buyer when you're trying to figure it out all on your own. The good news is I finally found someone I trust who is affordable and private. For the last few years, I've only purchased my precious metals from Roberts & Roberts. They make it easy, fast, and discreet. Everything I've ever purchased has been excellent quality at an excellent price. I publicly vouch for the folks at Roberts & Roberts that they'll give you a square deal. Right now, prices on silver are ridiculously low, and it's a great time to buy. Check out Roberts & Roberts.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Grand Wizards of Funk, the Liberty Cats. These hep caps know how to drop such a furry and funk-tastic rhythm, you'll be solid all night long. You jive hustlers, go get your boots on, flip your grip, and be swelligant to each other. Now, here's the Bucket from Nantucket, Brian Hagen, and the Lothario from Ontario, Taryn P. Lupo.
Oh, that's right. You're feeling that funk. You're feeling that jive. That's what you bring to you each and every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday on Daily Paul Radio with this show called The Liberty Cats. Meow, my lady. Here, my claws are out. Come on over, darling, and get a little bit closer. My name is Brian Hagen, along with...
Taryn P. Lupo, and come lay in my lap.
Mm-hmm. Let me pet you just a little bit.
Ears.
Ooh, don't mind those hairs, lady. It just means that I'm all the more masculine.
Oh, well, so the funk music reminds me of something, and I've got to share this experience because Brian's been talking about it. So I go to Atlanta. For you guys that don't know, I'm also a chiropractor, which I almost like never talk about. And I went to a seminar to learn how to work on stubborn thyroids. While I was there, there is a special feature in Atlanta, this place that's been around since the 70s that's super famous, called the Claremont Lounge. And it's actually a dance club, but there are some strippers in it. But mainly, there's just as many men as women there. And they come and they play music out of the 70s and 80s, and it's mostly funk. They had this DJ named Romeo Colon, who's very famous. He's been there since, like, the 70s, and he has locked the music in at funk for the last 40, 50 years. He plays the same funk, and it's awesome. I mean, like, his mixes are great, but they just – what happened is this – they started this Claremont Lounge, and it's real shady. Like, it's in this condemned hotel on the basement. And you park in the back parking lot, and it looks like you're going into someone's, like, literally like someone's basement. You go there, and it's not very big. It's probably the size, maybe 1,200 square feet tops for a club, you know. And it's looks like somebody's basement from the 70s. There's wallpaper that's peeling off the wall that no one cares about. There's, like, a bunch of old signs stuck up. There's, you know, one gigantic horseshoe bar and then a dance floor to the left. And they literally took a snapshot in time from the 70s and did nothing. They have not fixed it up. They haven't put any money into it. It's just – and the music's still the same.
I love places like that. Let me stop you just for 1 second. It was about a year ago. I went into a steakhouse, and you could tell this steakhouse was built in the 70s. You know, the wood paneling, everything just smacked 70s. This like Naugahyde bar. It was just crazy. And you just feel like you're time traveling. But anyway, there were no strippers in my steakhouse. Continue, Taryn.
Well, it reminds me, I went to a real fancy steakhouse in West Virginia in Fairmont, and up on this hill, and you go up there, and they still had carpet all over the walls. Do you remember that theme in the 70s
when
people
were
carpeting the walls?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that was still up there for like a couple years ago, so I'm going to have to bring that look back. I forgot about carpet in the walls.
That's how our radio station, the station I work out of, all the walls are carpeted. They were too cheap to actually put like true insulation up to soundproof the rooms, so they just carpeted the walls, and it has that 70s look, and I can only imagine how much mildew is behind that carpet. Continue.
Probably all the smoke of the 70s, too, when everybody smoked in the that's all just stuck in that – that stinky, stinky carpet on the wall. Which, so you go into this club, and it's one of the last places you're allowed to smoke, I think, in Atlanta. So it is smoky, which, drives me nuts, but I just dealt with it. All right, you walk in this club, and the first thing I see is this lady – oh, wait, I got to back up the story. I went last time – okay, I haven't been to a strip club in almost 20 years. So I went – the last time I went was – I think I was in college – and what happened was there was a lady that was like 65 dancing that must have been about 250 pounds.
Oh, wow.
Her name was Goldie. And she used to do tricks with a beer can, crushing beer cans, which I'm just going to leave that up to your imagination. And she would bend over and she kind of had a British accent. And she'd be like, would you like to see my ham and biscuits? You know, and it's like this 65-year-old fat lady. It was awesome. And so Goldie was like a legend there. And so I thought she'd still be there, but I walk in and no, there was just some – this is the joke about the Claremont is it's where the strippers go to die.
Oh,
because not only
yeah.
is everything from the 70s, so are the strippers.
Oh, no. Oh, that's horrible. You just gave me the nastiest vision that I've had in a long time.
So these strippers start from like age 50 and go up, and none of them – are in shape. Every one of them's overweight. And except for maybe like they have one or two oddities, you know, that are not the norm, but these are overweight ladies and they're getting tipped like crazy and they just own it. They don't even care. They're like, yeah, I got to sell you a lady, but whatever, you know, and they're just up there dancing and people are like, good for you, girl. And they're just tipping her. And it is literally, I had no idea that there's such a place exists. So what's funny is they'll actually have stream theme strippers. So I'm up there and this lady's dressed like Alice in Wonderland. And I'm like, really? And she's like 50. She's got blonde hair. She's got that totally like Britney Spears painted black eyes. You
know
what
sure.
I'm talking about?
Yeah, I love that look, but probably
that look
not on her.
Love.
Yeah.
She's all wrinkled from smoke. You can tell she's like smoking on stage. She's like dancing.
Oh, no.
She's got gloves on that light up, glitter gloves.
Oh, God, no.
So they have lights in them like a rave, you know? And she's, you know, she's overweight. She's showing this. And she's got a great attitude. She's up there having fun. And she's like, you know, smoking and drinking a beer while she's dancing. You know? So, and she comes down. And me and my friends are sitting at a table, and I'm like, all right, here's $1. Thanks for the show. And she's like, hey, honey, honey. I'm like, what? And she's like whispering. And I thought for a minute, I swear to God, I thought she had one of those things you put over your throat, the voice robot things. And
yes,
they're like,
yes.
I am a robot. Here's my cigarettes.
Yes, I have smoked too long, too many years. I am now speaking like a robot.
The stripper had like a voice box. So, hey, honey, would you like a dance?
Oh, God,
would you like a dance?
Oh, no.
And so I'm like laughing, and I'm like, I'm sitting here, and I'm trying. I can't even understand what she's saying. And my friend, I can't mention his name, but he's the ironically the same one that is the Candyman from our Halloween strip club story.
Oh, yeah, from several episodes back, yes.
A couple episodes, same guy.
Oh, when he tipped him with candy corn.
He ran out of money and tipped him with candy.
Yes,
strippers don't like that. So he's with me again 20 years later, and we're laughing, and I'm trying to get her to – you know, talk to him. And so we're having fun with this, and they go off, and you know, I'm way too cheap to pay for a lap dance. And so I'm looking around, and all of a sudden this dude's out on the dance floor, and he looks just like Penn Jillette.
Oh no.
Penn
and Teller.
Penn and Teller, huge ponytail. He's gigantic and awkward, and he's out there doing the robot and the shuffle, and he's dancing. And these girls love it. They're just like, okay, this is the weirdest club. It's like if you went to Twin Peaks and there was a bar.
Oh, wow.
Like, all these strange characters are in there. And then there's this one guy who's standing, and he's bald, and he's got these gigantic eyes, and he's just creeping. Like, totally look like a serial killer.
He's just watching everybody on the dance floor.
Watching, and he's pole position. He's straight there, and he's just creeping, like, nodding his head with a gigantic Cheshire Cat smile. And the light is bouncing off the disco ball and right on him. So he's lit up, which makes it even creepier. Oh. It's like when you look at a TV show where the bad guy's, like, lit up. So he's watching all these girls and creeping us out, and and then this girl hits on me that looks like Pat Benatar, could have been Pat Benatar because she was like 60. The woman hit on me.
Was she wearing the little workout outfit like Pat Benatar?
Yes, she was wearing like a cutoff, you know, like a cutoff sweatshirt.
Yes, because Pat Benatar would sing those pseudo metal songs, but dress like she's going to jazzercise.
That's it. This woman was like in a jazzercise outfit with the punky little pixie haircut thing, and she was like 60 or something, and she just jumped on me and started dancing, and I was like, I was sitting there telling my friend, I'm like, man, look, Pat Benatar.
You should have asked her, are you Pat Benatar? If hit me with your best shot. Fire away.
You know, I wanted to post pictures, but they're total Nazis about taking out a camera. You're not allowed to do it. So I followed the rules, and the night just got crazier and crazier with shadier and shadier people showing up. It was so fun because it was like, okay, these are some townies who are at the bar that have probably been there since the 70s and dressing the same, and, you know, the redneck guys. Then there's all these hot young girls that are there that are dancing on the club floor. And then there's a bunch of middle-aged dudes, too, that are, like, in business suits. And then there's, like, you know, some celebrity in the corner. And it's this weird mix. Like, what club is this? And it's in some shady basement of a hotel that's not even on, you know. They've never done any maintenance to this place since the 70s.
What city is this located in?
Oh, it's Atlanta, Georgia.
It's
if you look it up online, if you don't believe me, go look it up. It's called the Claremont Lounge, and you have to do it once in your life. It was so fun.
Yeah, I'm sitting here thinking I have now added this to my bucket list of places I have to go. This sounds like the kind of place that I could just spend the rest of my life and die happily sitting at that bar.
I'm gonna once I get rich, I'm gonna fly you down there. Yeah. By the way, if we have an advertiser that would like to fly us, we'll do a live show from the Claremont Lounge.
Yes, we certainly will. We'll set
we'll
up.
Interview
we'll do
everybody.
Yes, we will do a live broadcast from the Claremont Lounge. All it's going to cost you is I'm going to throw out the figure of $500.
$500 should get you there, and we can stay at some friends, and we can go on the cheap. I'll do it for Brian. Come on, guys. Chip in for his birth. We should just do a fundraiser for that.
Oh, we should.
Send Brian to the Claremont Lounge.
It only makes sense. When you think about it, it just makes sense, Taryn.
Yeah, it's like a Bitcoin. Come on, guys. Throw a Bitcoin at us.
Yeah, throw me one Bitcoin. Get me to the Claremont Lounge. Let me see what I have been missing out on my entire life. Taryn, I'm so envious of you. I had noticed... that was what, late last week, you were posting updates, and then all of a sudden your updates just ended. So I figured that you probably just fell into the rhythm of the nightlife at the Claremont Lounge.
I did. I went out and danced on the floor and just randomly, you know, it's still hard to be. I forgot, like, how hard it is for single guys, you know, that these women form that protective ring circle where they dance with each other. And then they act like, you know, men don't exist. But I don't get it. Why do you women go out with and dance with their friends? Like, I don't go out with my guy friends and be like, hey, man, let's go dance on the floor together.
Yeah, I don't understand that either. You're right. They do. And you're right. That is
like
it's a protective.
Yeah. You're like a tiger trying to break into the gazelle circle. It's just like impossible.
Yeah, I gave up a long time ago because I realized, you know, you go over, even if you're a gentleman and you're like trying to kind of dance, the way the rest of the friends look at you is just enough to make you feel like you're a creepy sex offender. So why do you even want to go bother? I just kind of sit there and dance with myself.
Yeah, clubs are really an awful, awful place to pick up women.
Oh,
it's
horrible.
Very, very difficult. You can't even hear each other. You're yelling like, what's your name? Yeah, okay. What's your name? Yeah, I like purple. You know, they don't understand what you're talking about.
I love to play board games. No, what's your name?
It's like just pointless to try to pick up a girl at a club. I don't understand it at all.
It's awful. Well, Taryn P. Lupo, you know, here on this episode of the Liberty Cats on this Tuesday evening, we would be remiss. While you were out in the club, we were watching our federal government once again encroach upon the rights of our citizenship, because while you were in the Claremont Lounge dancing with overweight hookers, a gentleman by the last name of Bundy and his entire family were facing down the federal government, the Bureau of Land Management, mind you, the armed Bureau of Land Management, complete with snipers, because he refuses to pay the federal tax on land in Nevada that he and his family have been ranching since the 1800s. I mean, I don't know how much of this story you followed, Taryn, but really, you don't have to follow much to know that what was going on here wasn't a whole lot different than Ruby Ridge or even Waco, except for the fact that you don't even have a questionable individual involved. This guy's just like your regular all-American cowboy type, may as well be John Wayne, and you got the federal government threatening to shoot him, his entire family, and all the supporters that came out to his ranch.
Yeah, I know a little bit about it, and it's weird to me that the, you know, Bureau of Land Management wasn't even around till 1980. So what kind of claim do they have on something from the 1850s?
Exactly.
You know, I kind of got that part because people were kind of making excuses like, well, you know, the lease ran out. He has to leave. He's not paying it. And all I'm thinking to myself is, you know, this stuff all existed way before this agency came and showed up and demanded money.
Well, exactly. And that's all it is. It's all about the money. They've said something about these turtles, these endangered turtles, but apparently the federal government themselves are killing the turtles. It's just one mucked up, messed up situation. And I don't want to get into all the details of it here, but I will say this. I don't think it's over. I think what we saw at the end of last week heading into this new week in which we currently sit and are currently talking about, I think that more is to follow. I think you're going to be seeing a lot more action on behalf of the federal government at the Bundy Ranch, and it just sickens me and it frightens me what this entire mess could turn into.
I don't know. When I've seen these things go down, it's really rare now for the government to make that move. Like, what they're going to wait is for it to die down, and then they're going to run in over at night and take it over. Kind of like, do you remember the Brown protesters the guys, the Ed and Elaine Brown, about 5 years ago,
yes,
set up in New Hampshire and refused to pay taxes and locked themselves in their house. And there was a huge standoff for months. And what they did is they waited for the people to leave, the support people, and then, like, tricked him to come out and arrested him. You know, they put, like, an undercover guy in or something. So I think it'll be the same thing. I don't think they'll directly confront them. They'll wait for this to die down, and then they'll sneak in and take it.
You know, you're probably right. I know one of the theories that I've heard is they might not even, like, go back to the ranch. They might just round up the individual family members in their homes under the cover of darkness, you know, using some other sort of conspiracy charge or something along those lines. It's going to be interesting to see. It's also going to be interesting to see what the long-term ramifications will be if they do take such an action. It was amazing seeing all the supporters come out, even though they were, you know, I know there was some gun confiscation going on. It was just incredible to me to see that they faced that head on to show that we're mad as hell and we're not going to take it anymore. Hopefully you're not mad as hell, and hopefully you will take more of the Liberty Cats. We've got a little bit more to wrap up on the other side of this break. Good to have you here on this Tuesday, friends. If you hang on, I'll give you some catnip. So that's coming up on the other side.
Buffy, darling, put down your crumpets and listen to these clever chaps. They made me chuckle so hard my monocle fell off. It would be a capital idea if you tuned in to the Liberty Cats every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 6 p.m. on Daily Paul Radio. They're our kind of people, darling. Now, excuse me, darling. I have to go roll around in all my money naked.
And, you know, basically, Taryn Lupo was making it rain with all that money he has at the Claremont Lounge there in Hotlanta, Georgia, like stepping back into the filthy, herpes-ridden 1970s is what Taryn was doing last week. That's one of the lessons that we learned on today's edition of the Liberty Cats here on Daily Paul Radio, isn't it, Taryn?
It was a filthy, filthy decade, and you definitely needed hand wipes.
Hopefully you had some at the Claremont Lounge, because once you go in, you don't want to take it back home with you, because you'll never, ever lose it. So on this edition, we learned how to properly talk to overweight 70-year-plus strippers.
That's true. Who dress like Alice in Wonderland.
We learned that I do indeed have a great lust for James Franco, because he's just so incredibly talented, smart, and hot. He's just so dreamy.
We talked about Al Bundy and how he scored 5 touchdowns for Polk High.
Yes, we talked about how age will destroy a woman and every woman. And we were using Kelly Bundy from the great Married with Children to describe this. Every woman looks better dressed as a skank. Anyway, go ahead, Taryn.
I did want to point out that her mom still looks awesome. Katie Sagal, Peggy Bundy.
Yeah,
she still
does.
Dresses like a skank on Sons of Anarchy and still looks awesome.
She really does. Did you know that she had a country music career?
No, she sings.
And amazing. Yeah, she released a few singles back in the early 90s. They didn't get a lot of radio play, but I really liked them. You know, I'm a real alternative country sort of guy. And her stuff, man, I had it on a couple mixtapes back in the early 90s. She sounds good.
And she's really had a blowback into her career. She's doing great now. I think she's even producing and stuff.
I mean, first Futurama, you know, or Futurama, or however the kids pronounce that thing.
Future Alabama Rama.
Hey, I want to remind you, too, give us a phone call, 913-674-9439, 913-674-9439. Leave us a message.
Buy an ad.
Be outraged at us. Cuss us out. If you do a good enough job of offending me, we'll play you back on the air. How does that sound? So don't forget that phone number, 913-674-9439. We are the Liberty Cats. We'll be back tomorrow, Wednesday, on Daily Paul Radio. So join us then. Meow.
You're listening to Daily Paul Radio. Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. WGRR Digital.